Welcome to Osteopathy Unplugged. I'm Steve Paulus Dio.
And I'm Bonnie Gintis Dio. We're American osteopathic physicians, and we're a married couple devoted to the practice and the study of osteopathic medicine. We developed Osteopathy Unplugged out of our passion for osteopathy and the recognition that our profession needs a more intimate conversation about who we are and what we do.
Join us as we sit in conversation, talking about the inner and outer workings of osteopathy.
Welcome to episode 43 of Osteopathy Unplugged, treating family members with osteopathic manipulation. In our next five episodes, we'll be exploring potential ethical issues, interpersonal considerations like clear communication and boundary setting, and intrapersonal issues like caring for oneself, the source of our generosity, and other motivations for sharing our profession with our families, friends, colleagues, coworkers, and employees. Here's an overview of the next few episodes. In this episode, number 43, we'll be discussing the osteopathic treatment of family members. In episode 44, we'll discuss the complexities of treating friends. In episode 45, we'll continue this interesting thread of conversation and cover the issue of the potential problems associated with treating osteopathic colleagues with osteopathic manipulation. Then in episode 46, we'll talk about the tricky matter relating to the ethics of treating employees and coworkers with osteopathic manipulation. And finally, in episode 47, we'll talk about the importance of having an osteopathic treatment partner to expand one's professional development. In this episode, number 43, we'll lay the foundation for all the following episodes covering the myriad complicated issues, potential problems, and ethics of treating people who aren't formally patients. You may choose to re-listen to this episode in order to remember key foundational issues. And please note that for our Physician DO listeners, we're only going to be talking about the specific issues relevant to treating with OMT and not with offering medical care or advice. For ease in presentation, when we refer to family members, we'll primarily be referring to spouses plus the first and second degree relatives we have. A first degree relative is defined as a close blood relative, which includes the individual's parents, full siblings, or children. We're going to include adopted children in this first degree category. A second degree relative is defined as a blood relative, which includes the individual's grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nephews, or nieces. A third-degree relative is defined as a blood relative which includes the individual's first cousins, great-grandparents, or great-grandchildren. We'll let you extrapolate to third-degree relatives and beyond. Most of the issues we've encountered with family members have been in the first and second-degree categories. So, what are the complicated ethical, interpersonal, and intrapersonal issues involved in treating family members, and why are we talking about them? We've realized from a combination of our own experiences and stories we've heard from our colleagues that there are difficulties that can arise from the assumptions that get made around treating family members. We're searching for clarity. Steve did a survey on Facebook asking our colleagues specifically about treating family members and received over 100 responses. Between Steve's survey and our own experiences, we found that people's initial response to the question about treating families fell into one of two main categories. One, people who said something like, "Of course I treat my family members without hesitation." Or the second possible category was people who report that treating family members is fraught with difficulties and challenges. We're going to unpack these two opinions, which are at the two ends of the spectrum, and fill in many possible questions that arise in the middle of these two responses. We'll briefly discuss standard ethical guidelines from the American Medical Association's Council on Ethical and Judicial Affairs and from the Federation of State Medical Boards regarding the treatment of family members with standard medical and surgical practices in the United States. Our listeners in other countries might want to look into the guidelines that may or may not be offered by your professional organizations in your countries. In the U.S., the American Osteopathic Association, that we call the AOA for short, and the American Academy of Osteopathy, or AAO, do not have any published ethical standards regarding the treatment of family members, friends, colleagues, co-workers, or employees with osteopathic manipulation. Interestingly, this issue, as far as we know, has not been discussed publicly by any American osteopathic professional organizations, and there's not a formal code of ethics or even a general set of guidelines for treating family members specifically with osteopathic manipulation. The General Osteopathic Council in the UK also does not specifically address the ethics or concerns of treating family members, but does minimally address the issues of treating those with whom you have a personal relationship. We've reviewed all of the ethical standards for the other osteopathic English-speaking countries from around the world. Ethical standards for treating family members do not specifically exist in other English-speaking countries, as far as we can determine. We accept that osteopathic ethical standards for treating family and friends could exist in non-English-speaking countries, but we currently don't have full access due to language differences. We also searched other manual therapy professions for ethical standards in this field and did not find a detailed or even cursory set of guidelines from the chiropractic profession, Rolfing, or massage therapy. We also accept that other allied healthcare professionals may have a set of standards that we've not yet found. Finally, Steve and I will openly discuss our experiences and the experiences of some of our colleagues with treating family members, and we'll offer our opinions. We're going where no osteopathic professional society has gone before, but Steve and I are not an osteopathic professional society. We have none of the legal restraints of organizations. So we're going to do what we think should have been done by our colleagues at all the many osteopathic professional organizations, and I might add educational organizations too, around the world. We're going to present the issues at hand, try to clarify potential areas of difficulty and concern, and propose some guidelines that would be helpful to be brought to awareness in the hopes that some osteopathic organization will pick up the ball and run with it. We hope that the episodes on these topics become the impetus for a larger conversation. Our opinions on this important issue are not backed by any scientific evidence, nor are they codified by any governmental or professional osteopathic organization. These are simply our opinions and experiences and not meant to be a legal or professional set of guidelines. Our recommendations are non-binding. Yet hopefully some of our conclusions and recommendations might offer the beginning of a professional conversation. At the end of this 5-part series, we'll be generating a set of proposed guidelines for the treatment of family members, friends, colleagues, coworkers, and employees with osteopathic manipulation. We ask that our listeners please send us comments and suggestions regarding this subject, and perhaps together we can initiate a discussion that might move up the ladder to our professional organizations. I personally am less concerned with making a set of definitive policies than I am with bringing these situations to light, especially for our younger, less experienced listeners. The main policy that I would support is one that brings the issues we discuss in this episode to awareness and osteopathic education. We're especially asking our non-American DOs to send us ethical guidelines that we might not have found in our research from their countries on this subject. We would be happy to have a future public expansion of the ethics of treating family members worldwide. This conversation is for osteopaths everywhere, for students just starting out, for people new in practice, and for people who've been practicing osteopathy for years. This episode will form the structural foundation for the following episodes in this series. There are subtleties and challenges to treating family members, friends, colleagues, coworkers, and employees with osteopathic manipulation. We accept this challenge and choose to talk about this important topic rather than let it remain in the shadows. In Steve's Facebook survey I spoke of before, he found that many people make assumptions that could later cause problems if not explicitly addressed. Many people don't question or challenge those assumptions until they have trouble arise in the treatment of a family member. We'd like to prevent future difficulties by speaking frankly about concerns and bringing awareness to these issues. This is going to be a long episode out of necessity. This is a complicated and intimate topic. Please stay with us as we deeply dive into treating family members with osteopathic manipulation. Okay, Steve, why don't you continue the important discussion?
That was a great introduction, Bun. Thank you for setting the table for this diverse feast of a discussion. I'd like to make a comment about who you prioritize as our audience for this episode. You said that our discussion is especially for our younger, less experienced listeners. I agree and disagree. This episode is for every osteopath of all ages and every level of experience. I've seen more inappropriate behavior by experienced osteopaths than by inexperienced DOs. I think the old dogs can learn a lot from listening to this series of episodes and contemplating the intricacies of our complex interactions with family, friends, colleagues, coworkers, and employees. So to all the old dogs out there, please stay with us and dive deeply into your experiences, habits, and concerns. This is an episode devoted to what many refer to as ethics. The modern definition of ethics is essentially the study of cultural standards for what is right or wrong. Ethics in healthcare is a set of moral principles and values that guide medical professionals in making difficult decisions. It ensures that practitioners treat patients with dignity, respect, and fairness while promoting trust in the medical system. Formal ethics in healthcare also has a codified set of legal implications that channel behavior and practice in alignment with the standards of medical care. The classical philosophy definition of ethics, on the other hand, particularly from the Stoics, was something else. Stoic ethics is the branch of Stoicism focusing on living in agreement with nature and cultivating inner excellence. It posits that virtue is the only true good and is sufficient for happiness, teaching that a person should focus only on what is within their control. Virtue in this context is another word for integrity. And ultimately, this episode is about the integrity of the osteopath.
I would like to clarify that word stoic. We're not using the informal definition of the word stoic, meaning without emotion or being stone-faced and unfeeling. We're referring to the philosophical viewpoint of the Stoic philosophers who believed in our relationship to the natural world, our ability to practice self-care with practical wisdom and integrity. I think my viewpoint of distinguishing influence versus control, you've heard me talk about that in previous episodes, I think it's essentially a Stoic point of view. We can't ultimately control our bodies and our health, but we can influence things.
I'm glad you made the distinction between the colloquial use of the word Stoic and the complex and surprisingly pragmatic philosophy of Stoicism, which in many ways has significant overlap with Buddhism. Bonnie and I are presenting these next five episodes more from the Stoic point of view rather than from a medical legal point of view. We also prefer the Buddhist perspective of right action. Right action, or sama kamanta in Buddhism, is the principle of ethical, non-harmful physical or emotional conduct. As the fourth step of the Noble Eightfold Path, it emphasizes acting with compassion and mindfulness to prevent suffering for yourself and others. Nothing in our training during osteopathic school, during our internships or residencies, or during postgraduate continuing education courses prepares us for treating family members, friends, colleagues, coworkers, and employees with osteopathic manipulation in an ethical way congruent with right action and living in agreement with nature.
There's a great contradiction. As osteopathic students, we're encouraged to practice on friends, family, and each other with little or no guidance about how to navigate those relationships. I don't ever remember receiving any guidance or warnings about setting boundaries, communicating clearly, or how to deal with overly demanding and unrealistic family members who I was encouraged to be treating osteopathically.
You're exactly right. We were told to practice on family and friends, but given no support about how to do so without hurting someone, crossing boundaries, getting overwhelmed with our family members' needs, or being inappropriate.
There's something I want to add here. I don't want anyone to get the impression that we're opposed to treating family.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, we haven't said that at all. And it seems to me that the difficult part about treating family members or friends or all the other people we're going to talk about at some point are the social interactions that go along
right.
with the treatment. The treatment itself is the easy part.
Right. So, I agree. Yeah. And we're going to talk about all that throughout the episode. But family can be tough to treat. Friends can be tough to treat. There's an old expression, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And then there's the great opening line from Tolstoy's Anna Karenina, all happy families are alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Treating family members can be challenging, or it can be a beautiful, transcendent experience of sharing and connection. We will try to help you to decrease the challenging aspect and hopefully open the door for something more, to open the door for love. There are no rules or rule book for the treatment of family members with osteopathic manipulation. There's no map for the complex territory we're about to enter. Bonnie and I hope to be your guides as we navigate calm waters and sometimes stormy weather. We hope to be realistic, humanistic, and remember basic kindness as well as love. We believe that we can love our family members and still maintain professionalism and honor obvious boundaries for both parties involved. Before we get too far into these details, we must discuss the differences between treating family members with medical treatment compared to treating them with osteopathic manipulation. There's a big difference between the two, and we want to distinguish what we are and are not doing here.
The episode you've been listening to just faded out because you are not yet a subscriber to Osteopathy Unplugged. Please visit patreon.com/osteopathyunplugged and become a subscriber in order to have full access to the rest of this episode as well as the complete collection.
We have created a set of foundational episodes that will be available for free for everyone. These teachings provide an introduction to osteopathic clinical philosophy. However, the full versions of all episodes are only available through Patreon. Access Patreon through their app or through a browser page. Thank you for listening to Osteopathy Unplugged.
And thank you for your interest in the osteopathic experience.
Until next time, be well, listen deeply, and stay curious.